I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Go ahead.
Well, we should explain. We are here, but we apologize, although circumstances not in our control. But the podcast, the newer podcast, did not get posted last week because of Sandy. It's Sandy's fault.
Hurricane Sandy.
That Sandy.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. So what happens is when we record the podcast here, and we're here in Los Angeles right now.
Oh,
right now.
Whoa.
Right. And then we take the podcast, and then Jake and I, we put music in and tat-tats, and Jake picks the songs, and then I take out some swear words sometimes, or sometimes I say Jake put a duck here. And then the podcast goes to this...
Nueva York.
The who?
New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're there. And then
I'm doing my best, Sofia Vergara.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Nueva York.
And then they put it up. So we don't put it up. That's radio talk, putting it up. God. Anyway, nobody was there because they couldn't be there because they were told, get the hell out.
All the servers actually went down
at
Everyday Health. So okay. The people who run my website, JillianMichaels.com, they also put our podcast through their server. We essentially host the show, although it is on iTunes. Our servers host the podcast, and all of their servers went down.
Oh, I don't understand.
And it's Shape Magazine. They have to move their offices to Florida because they got so much damage from the hurricane.
Wow.
It's major. And I have to say, there's all this talk. You know, Janice actually printed out a bunch of different articles for me about why people didn't evacuate and the psychology behind what were people thinking riding out the storm. I got to say, I blame a big part of this on the media, man. Because when I heard about it, I was like, oh, God, this is going to be just like Irene. The end of the world. It's the end of the world. And then nothing happens. And you see these ridiculous reporters standing in the ocean, which is so stupid. And it's like you kind of I think the media cries wolf. Carmageddon, like in Los Angeles, we had this thing, Carmageddon, and the world was going to end because they were working on the 405. What the hell were we going to do? How are we going to get from A to B, stuck up on water? And it's like, it was the best traffic we've ever had in Los Angeles. It was non-existent. and because nobody was on the roads, but it was completely effortless and went off without a hitch. And I think the media blows this crap up and cries wolf so often that you think, oh, come on, sure, like the last 10 times you said the world was ending. But the problem is, really was bad this time.
Yeah, it was nasty.
I mean, it really was bad. And so one of the things, we're going to have Dr. V on, actually.
Yep.
Today, and she's going to talk about things that you need to take care of medically, things you need to look out for to prepare for something like this and protect yourself and protect your family. But if for some reason you didn't evacuate because of finances.
Yeah, it's true, because sometimes, you know, if you're upper class or middle class, you can go, oh, I'm going to go stay with my sister or yeah. my mom or whatever upstate.
Leave town. Yeah.
But there's some people that simply don't have a place to go.
Or the money to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so one of the things we want to suggest, obviously, if resources are an issue for you, call your local emergency management services. Call the Red Cross.
Yeah, Red Cross always.
Because usually they'll set up shelters and give you have a place for people to go where there is food and there is water and there is a place to sleep. Obviously, a lot of these backup generators gave way. But
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the hospitals?
I saw that
their
one
backup
huge
generators gave
went,
way.
Boom, down, nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they were carrying patients down 11 flights of stairs. Newborns that were on intubators, elderly. It was awful.
Yeah, there's so many vulnerable. See, I mean, I'm an able body. I can get myself from A to B, but there's so many non-able bodies, like a baby or an elderly person.
Yeah.
What the hell are they going to do?
I would just say this. Having learned a lesson personally, because I really did, I was like, this, even though I'm in Los Angeles and it's easy for me to say, I was like, ugh, here we go. The media again making a big thing. And Heidi was like, you know, babe, it's a full moon and it's a high tide and it's a this and it's a that. And she's like, it's entirely possible this could be a big deal. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know, and she does her homework. That's the thing. So I was like, really? You think this is going to be a big deal? She's like, I think this is going to be kind of a big deal, babe. And we have a lot of friends and family on the East Coast.
I know you do.
So, and it turned out to be kind of a big deal. And so here's what I would say. While you might be a cynic or you might be jaded by the media, do your own research. Because when Heidi was kind of doing her own research, she definitely pieced together that with all the factors at play, it was more serious. And I would say, what the hell? Err on the side of caution. And if finances are an issue, go call the Red Cross, because there are places that offer emergency relief, emergency management services for people that don't have the funds. Get out sooner than later. And, of course, make a plan for your pets.
You know, I was just going to say that we'll take better care of our – like my sister has horses, and you have horses.
Yeah.
She knows – But she we're in an area where it can flood too, like the water, the glaciers melt, and boom, you've got flooding.
Wow!
And so she's got a plan. She knows exactly where she's going to take her horses.
Yeah.
And they have. It's like I'm going to take it to Betty Joe up there, and she's going to in a higher ground, and she's going to take care of the horses. So they have, but for ourselves,
we don't have
that plan.
But I have the horses in a canyon, and fires are always an issue. And so I literally was like, I'm going to buy a trailer and a truck to be able to get them out of here. And then, you know, my trainer was like, no, we have an emergency evacuation plan for the horses. Like, they have a plan. They have a plan in place where if there's a fire, they have someone they call. They come and get all the horses. They take them, you know, obviously to like Burbank or what have you, a different stables. And they have an evacuation plan for the animals. We have we're earthquake prepared out here. We've got everything, the spare cash, the spare water, the toolkit to turn the gas lines off. But I guess you just,
Do you know how to turn your gas line off?
I actually do. I do. My assistant, Cody, is like Mr. Fix-It. And
I don't know how. I know where it is.
No, he showed me how.
You gotta
learn how. Although you don't have earthquakes where you're from.
Hello, 7.7 in British Columbia, Haida Gwaii, when the tsunami was going to hit Hawaii.
Really?
That was in British Columbia. Although it was northern British Columbia. Yeah.
Really?
7.7 rocked the socks, but didn't rock us in the Lower Mainland. But yeah,
interesting.
Because we're on the same fault line.
I guess what we're saying is. Look at where the area you live in. what natural disasters could possibly occur that you might be able to predict or you know, is indicative to the region you live in, as in Los Angeles, hello, earthquake. Florida, hello, hurricane. Same thing, you know, Houston, New Orleans, hurricanes. And see how you can prepare ahead of time. And then if they're saying evacuate, do your research. But honestly, I'd evacuate. After looking at this, I would evacuate. Better to be safe than sorry. Have a place or a plan for your pets ahead of time so you're prepared. And here's what I don't like, though. And this is going to be kind of my last thought on this, since this is... I don't like the fact that this Chris Christie guy, the governor, is shaming people. What? Really, dude? Like, you've not walked a mile in their shoes. You don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, he definitely chastised people. And you know, I understand his wanting to protect first responders. I get that. But yeah, you're right.
I get that too. But you can't say things like it's very interesting because the implication is that these people were lazy or stubborn or negligent. And the people that did evacuate were hardworking and self-reliant and responsible. Like, that's the impression that's being given through the media and elected public officials. Don't need to do that, bro. I just that pisses me off because you don't understand what resources they had available. Or and again, I probably would have thought, oh, come on, because how many times have you heard the sky's falling and it never falls? Remember Y2K?
Yes.
It's the same stuff. Oh, my God. All the ATMs are going to go down. All of our money is going to disappear in our bank accounts. That's the problem, is that the media is always so desperate to fearmonger because they think it creates good news. They get viewerships that they fearmonger, and then nothing ever happens. And then you don't know who to believe anymore. No, I really do believe that.
No, I think it's a really valid point.
So you think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to spend all this money. I'm going to take all this time. I'm going to go through all of this. And for what? Nothing. That's why I don't believe that you can blame people. Obviously, if they didn't evacuate, I'm sure there were extenuating circumstances and I'm sure they've been jaded. Regardless, though, that said, be preemptive.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Vian next?
Yes, she is.
Thank God.
She's waiting on the line, I believe. I think it's blinking.
You know what else? And I promise this will be my last thought. I promise.
Oh, sweet Mary.
No, this is it. Here's the another thing about the media that pisses me off.
You are media.
No, we're not.
This is media. We're media.
No.
No, this is a podcast. Jillian, you're media. You are in the media.
No, I'm not news.
Well, you're so funny. No, I don't want to be media.
No.
I hate the media.
No.
Okay, one more. I'm sorry.
We're informative.
Okay, sorry.
We're not in the news.
What is your last point?
Well, so I get these requests from like the Associated Press and all these different media news outlets.
Yes, all right.
And I couldn't believe it. They were saying, you know, people have had to snack on unhealthy foods over the last couple of days. And what can Jillian recommend to help them get their diet back on track?
Can you
believe it? My business partner and I were so disgusted.
That's horrible.
It's gross, right?
No,
as though you would
really
capitalize on this to get your name out there. We were both like, wow, really? Pass.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Why don't you just go put on your K-Swiss runners and do some exercises for the folks?
Hey, guys, listen.
I know you've been in an emergency cot for a few days.
But let's start thinking about your waistline again.
Oh, my God.
Come on, everybody. And a two. I know.
That's
I couldn't believe
horrible.
It. But that's my point.
Yeah, no.
That's
now,
not.
Now, okay.
Jeez,
we're definitely not that kind. We're good people.
Well. It's debatable when it comes to you.
Oh, God.
All right, let's get Dr. Vian so we can give some real info here.
Okay, all right. We'll be right back.
OK, Okay, so as promised, we've got Dr. V on the show today, and she's going to talk about what do you do in case of an emergency. There are seven top things, of course. It's the top seven with Dr. V. Dr. Van Hurley, how are you, bud?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Glad at this moment that we live on the West Coast, I'll tell you.
I was going to say.
Jeez. So
very lucky, right?
Yeah. And, if you know, unfortunately, I have some friends and family on the East Coast, but they're actually doing okay. But, I mean, there's so many things that you need to worry about. And it seems as though every day there's something new to worry about, from open power lines on the streets to bacteria in the flood water. Where do we begin here?
Okay. So here's where I would say we are for the top seven. And, Jill, you and I, Jillian, are lean and mean, right?
Yeah.
So we try and get this in the most simple way that we can.
Right.
So the first one is, and I'm going to just preface it with this part for the top seven, and that is, if you're in an emergency situation, that's what we're talking about today.
Okay, right.
So you're somewhere in those floodwaters, you're someone in a back, house, you're in a upward, you're on the roof, you're wherever you are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, learn how to take vital signs.
Wow, okay.
Now, why do I say it? It's really important because if you look at what we've been talking about, even in what's been going on in disaster zone, most folks don't know how to do this.
I don't actually think I know how to do this. Right. Are you just talking about pulse or to check and see if someone's breathing? Because I'm CPR certified, but so tell me what vital signs we need to check for and how do we do it?
Okay, exactly. First of all, you said it exactly. Are they breathing?
Okay.
So you see it on CSI and other things. You put your ear down, and do you hear a breath, right?
Okay.
And can you see an expansion like we do with our little kids that are sleeping at night when they're newborn?
Yes, I do that all the time. Okay.
Are they breathing, and can you hear a breath?
Okay.
That's actually number one, always, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the really important thing is what we call the radial pulse. So go from your thumb right down to that other place. You don't want to use your thumb there because your thumb has a bigger part of the artery on it.
Okay.
Right? So you want to use like your second and third finger.
Okay.
And you want to see if you can do that. Now, if you can feel it and you can do counts per minute, and I'll go through that in a second, Jill. But the other thing is, if you go to the neck. So someone who really...
Right. Because see, I have the hardest time feeling that one on me. And I know you're not supposed to go to the neck, right? Because you can cause a stroke.
And so, exactly. So the neck one's really tough. And not really tough, but, it's tougher. And people are afraid of it because they think they're becoming a doctor. You're not becoming a doctor. You're actually just feeling vital signs.
Okay.
Okay. So what you do is you look at the end of the jawbone. So,
okay.
Like, put your finger on your chin,
in the front
of your chin. March your way left or right. Doesn't matter which side because we have two carotid arteries.
Okay.
And go all the way to that little corner, which is like that... That left-hand quarter.
Yeah, see, I feel that one right away.
It?
Yeah, I do.
That one.
Okay.
Now, even if you don't have a watch and you can't count it out, because a lot of people say, but I need a minute hand, because what we're looking at is beats per minute.
Right.
Right? Even if you don't have it, what you can count out is how many beats within what you think is a reasonable time. Reasonable time means about a second, right?
Okay, yeah.
That you count out. You count out at least 15. You don't have to wait the whole minute. And then you multiply it by 4. If you actually have the watch, that you can do it. And it can be lower for, people that are healthy and active. And it will be higher for people that don't work out all the time, right?
Right.
And that's really important.
What's the number that you need? You just need a pulse or it has to be at a certain rate?
Yeah, most of us, and that's going to be the emergency number, is between 60 and 80 beats per minute.
That's the emergency number, as in you're in trouble?
That's right, because people are not all big athletes like you. The key thing is, what we want to see is, we don't want, and I'm not making jest of it, we don't want to see pulses under about 50 to 60 unless you know for a fact that that patient
is really fit.
Is fit.
Got it. I understand. Okay.
And it's really important. Why is that important? Because if you're going to call out to emergency technical people and so forth, when you give just that one vital sign of the heart rate, they will know this is a person that they have to triage quickly.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Yep. So those are the two things we need to make sure of. They're breathing, and we want to make sure that their pulse is not under 50 to 60 beats per minute.
And if they are, then we have to know a reason for it.
Got it.
Number two.
Okay.
And that has to do with if somebody has chest pain, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay? Because that happens. And that has happened during the emergency situation we've been in, right? This does happen.
Okay.
What do you do with chest pain? Now, first of all, chest pain means most likely that they have one of two events going on. One is that their coronary or heart vessels are somehow not giving enough blood flow to the heart, or that their lung pulmonary arteries are not giving enough blood flow to the lungs, right?
Okay.
Okay. But what do you do for chest pain? And this is going to sound pretty raw, but that's why we're having this call. It's 325 milligrams of aspirin. You chew one to two. You chew them.
Really? Like Bayer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like Bayer. I mean, you said...
What if they can't chew them? What if they're unconscious? They're having chest pain, so okay.
Then you put it under their tongue.
Got it. Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
And the key thing is the coated aspirin is a tough one because we always liked the Bayer, like you alluded to, and all the aspirin that you can put under the tongue, which is great because that gets absorbed under the mucosa of the tongue.
Got it.
But the coated aspirin isn't as great. So chest pain, it really is. Remember the old adage, take two aspirin and call in the morning?
Yes.
I know. You know, those docs that said that, maybe didn't know what they were saying, but it actually made a difference because if you're talking about what aspirin does, so what does it do?
Thins the blood, right?
Yeah, it tells those clotting cells, the platelets, to not stick to each other.
Okay, and this is why it's good to take an aspirin a day, or is that's true?
That's correct, and that's why it's good. But when we take an aspirin a day, you have to talk to your doc, right, about taking a baby aspirin. Or a regular.
I'm so sorry. I know this is a different subject, but what is the difference? One is easier on the stomach, or one is a higher dose, or how?
Yeah, so it's higher dose, and they have everything Ecotrin and all those different coated, enteric-coated aspirins.
Right, okay.
And that's what you're saying? Maybe that's the most important part of this call, actually, is that enteric-coated aspirins are all the same, whether it's 81 milligrams, the baby aspirin, or 325.
Got it.
But the key is that what we're seeing is there's probably not a big difference. And again, talk to your doctor if you have more bruising, if you have bleeding problems, but there's actually not a big difference. And the key thing is what we're talking about in an emergency is 325. And even if it's Ecotrin, chew it. Chomp it up if you can. Then you can't chew it.
But
someone will put it under your tongue anyway.
Okay. Got it. All right.
Okay. So we got that one down.
Yep.
I think we're on number three, right? How do we clean a wound?
Oh, God.
I know. I've got a couple
this
things.
Stuff. Look. I'm so squeamish,
man. And I'm going to be really basic on this.
Oh, God. Okay, go.
It's called hydrogen peroxide.
Really? I thought that stuff, like, eats flesh.
It does, and that's why you want it.
Oh.
So the key is that H2O2, it's two hydrogens, right?
Right.
Two oxygens. And the reason that we use H2O2 or hydrogen peroxide is because it actually cleans out exactly what we see could be a new bacteria or virus in a different wound.
Okay.
And so what I would say is keep that one on board. And again, we've already gone through the aspirin, but I think the hydrogen peroxide is the other one that we want to keep on board, keep available. And why do you say clean out?
Well, like, you're literally getting, like, the dirt and the junk and the bacteria out of there.
And you see it bubble up?
Yeah.
It's like in your toilet, the soap scum, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That's what it does in the body. So so we can tolerate that.
Okay.
And a lot of people use it for whitening and different things in their teeth,
right,
by the way.
Right, okay.
But I would have that available. It's like 75 cents. You can go to any pharmacy anywhere, right?
Now, if you just scrape your knee, is it okay to use that every day until it's better or no?
Yeah, I would put it on. It is okay to use it every day. I'd put it on once, and then I'd let your body do what it has to do, unless you have another illness. Where are we? I think number
four.
Learn CPR.
Yeah.
Man. I mean...
And there's courses everywhere. I mean,
it takes
honestly,
2 days.
Yeah, or
yeah,
or two
well,
days.
Yeah, I mean, they come to the house and they do mine for me every because I have to renew my CPR certification to keep my training certifications current.
Right. Okay.
Right.
And but I gotta tell you, I like knowing it for the kids because now I'm so worried that one of the kids is gonna choke.
The babies. Yeah. So I think the key thing to remember, and this is where I was trying to make this a little bit different because most folks won't be able to just get in the course like you and I do, Jillian, and all of us, right?
Right.
But how do you just know that you can tilt either an adult or a baby's head back, right? Open their airway and over their mouth, breathe or over their nose, breathe for them. And if you had to even give two compressions and you did that every, let's say, 30 seconds. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to actually dispel a myth. I mean, that was my big thing about number four. And that is, don't get worried. You can do something. You don't have to be fully trained.
Okay.
Do you agree?
You know something? I've never been in that situation. So if you know, you see on TV them like... pump, 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 and, you know, then you hear you'll break ribs, and how many breaths per how many pumps, and 15 seconds, and when do you breathe again? But I do like the fact that you're just making it simple, because they make it seem really complicated, to
of
be truthful.
And that's why, take the mystery out of it.
Okay.
Let's do something. If you're in a medical emergency, if there's something going on, and you've got floodwaters up high, and somebody can't breathe, guess what you do? You tilt their head back. Someone will pump on their chest, right in the middle of their chest, and someone will breathe into their mouth, I hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay.
I mean, make it really easy, because you will save a life with that. The other part about learn CPR has to do with, we're all on cell phones, and the one really important thing, Jillian, is that cell phones don't have always, not in all areas, our home address. So what I tell people, and that's part of CPR, is make sure that you've got fire and police and paramedics. And sometimes there are one, sometimes there are three. Make sure you have all those numbers
in your phone.
In your phone. Because when you call 911 from your phone,
no one answers. It's busy all the time.
And when you call the number, they'll get it. Then they'll know where you are, even if you cut out.
Fire, police, and paramedics.
That's
separately.
Correct.
I love that. Because you know something? I didn't know that. And I have tried to call 911 before. And it's like, oh, the lines are busy now. And you're just thinking, really?
Get the number. Every single denomination.
Okay.
God bless these folks. Every single group that we work with in terms of search and rescue, in terms of paramedics and our police force, they have a separate number in your area. And
okay.
That's why it's different. You've got to get the number for your area.
All right.
Put it in your cell phone. Put it wherever you want to, or on your iPad, or whatever your device is, and make sure you have that.
I love that idea. I don't know why that didn't occur to me to do that. Because I have often thought, God help us if we need to call 911, because they just don't answer the phone.
Yeah, they won't. And you know what's more important than that is they will track you, but they're going to try and track you through a different phone. What I'm almost saying it for a different way, Jillian, and that is if you can't actually be available and if someone is so sick or the waters are too high or something else, guess what? They can find you because you will call them And then they know
where you are.
Where you are.
That's okay.
Now they can track your phone in
Got
a different
it.
Way. Okay, so clean water and sewage.
Ugh.
I
just saw this whole thing on CNN about all this. The water was like glowing, man. The flood water from Sandy was glowing. It was so toxic.
I thought of you. So you heard, because I thought, and I thought of, you know, all of us, right? So it's all the oils. It's every single thing that we would never want, right, to drink or do anything with.
Right.
Now, the important thing about this is, I mean, we can't get around, and this is dreadful to say, we can't get around the sewage in terms of the oils. Not good. Don't know how to quite get around and break that up.
Right.
But what we can do is, if you get a bacterial infection from some kind of bad sewage, meaning raw sewage,
I know.
One of the key things, again, this is my third thing, I think, to keep on board, is the pink stuff.
Pepto?
Yeah.
Pepto-Bismol?
Bismuth sulfate is actually a massive cleaner-upper of what we take in and drink in.
I knew it stopped, like, the runs, but I didn't know it killed bacteria and stuff.
It kills the bacteria. Bismuth sulfate, what it'll do is it'll stop that, especially when you see in emergency that the waters are not doing well and that you have all that kind of bacterial growth in there. Pepto-Bismol or bismuth sulfate will actually do great.
No kidding. So if you have the stomach flu, actually could take that, presuming, like, if you had food poisoning, it might kill some...
It works like magic.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, not, I guess, of course, why would I know that? But
number one?
That's awesome. Okay, got it.
Okay, so that really works. And the thing is, you don't have to get the name brand. Of course, we never promote name brands. But the key is, get that bismuth sulfate.
Okay.
It makes a huge difference. And with everything going on with all the waters and what's going on, obviously, because of the hurricane and so forth, this is really critical.
Got it. Love that. Okay.
Okay. So I think we're on to 7, and I have an 8, but I'm going to be on to headache and confusion.
Right.
And have you guys seen that people get nervous and there's a headache, confusion, they feel sick and nauseous and all that, right?
Right.
Okay. Key thing that we all forget, and this is part of simple medical tactics, when someone says they feel sick, they're going to throw up, they feel they're nauseous, great. We talked about the other things you can do very quickly because you don't have a doctor there, per se, and so forth. But the one thing you can do is cool their head down. What we know is about 30% to 60% of the heat of a body comes from the head and the next, shoulders and back, right?
Okay.
So why is that important? Because when people feel nauseous, when people feel sick, and again, we don't know if it's from a stroke, is it from something else, and again, we will need medical advice, but if you can do the old measure of cooling measures, get their head cooler, and that's a cold compress, Jillian.
Okay.
There's nothing fancy there, right?
Right.
If you can take that cold compress and basically put it under a tap anywhere in water, cool it down, put it on their head, and the other place I put it is on the nape of the neck.
Okay. And why are they overheating, though? Stress?
Yeah, it's not just stress. What happens is the body will actually start making hormones that it's part of stress response, very correct, but it's not exactly. And what will happen is they start feeling that they have to sort of conjure up warmth. And that's the way the brain works.
Okay.
And really, the last thing that was a comment to this, actually, was just tourniquet. And how do we...
Oh, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because I've heard all kinds of conflicting stuff about this.
Okay, so tell me, Jill, what
all right,
you
so heard? Here's what happened, right?
Okay.
So when I was a kid, I had a roommate, and she slipped in the shower, and she fell into the door and she sliced her wrist open, right? And I didn't know what the hell was going on. All I knew is there's blood friggin' everywhere. So I took a belt out and I, you know, I'm hysterical. I'm on the phone with 911 waiting for them to answer the phone. I've got the tourniquet thing around her bicep. We go to the lawn. She passes out and I'm thinking, oh my God, she's going to die. She's going to bleed to death. Granted, she actually did not hit an artery. And they ripped me a new one because they said that I should not have put the tourniquet on her arm because she could have lost her arm. This is why people that are not doctors should not be screwing around with this stuff. But then I was super confused because in the movies, they always put the tourniquet on.
Right. So where was her, and this is a perfect example, where was her lesion? Where was her
It
cut?
Was on her wrist and it cut a tendon, but it did not end up hitting the artery. But I didn't know.
Okay. So that was actually part of our thing, which we're going to talk about for top seven, right?
Okay,
and
yeah.
This is like the eighth. And that is, you wrap locally, like you did, and you can do any kind of wrapping, a belt. I mean, people pull off T-shirts and do all that. You always do it locally to stop bleeding.
Okay, like not around the neck, obviously, like around right above where the wound is?
No, we wouldn't go around the neck, right? But we're going to take your example, and I can give a couple examples around this. But the wrist, you wrap it around the wrist, and then what we would recommend, and that was my reason for tourniquet, is you go to the next biggest joint.
Okay, like the elbow
so
in that case. Got it.
And the reason I think they probably get upset with you, Jillian, is because they were probably thinking, oh my goodness, you did this so high.
Oh.
Now, if someone has an artery cut, you will go to the highest place, right? Because you have to cut that off. But remember one thing. If someone has bleeding, if you go to the next joint, so for wrist, it's elbow.
Okay.
For elbow, it's shoulder.
Got it.
For ankle,
knee.
It's knee. For knee,
hip.
It's hip.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
You go to the next joint, wrap only the next joint up. Because what you can do by wrapping the next joint up is probably make it less painful for the person, and it will stop bleeding.
Okay.
That's why, that's a really good example. I think that's why they probably got upset with you.
Okay, got it. I got it. And then, is there a time frame? Like, do you need to take it off for a second? Or if you're waiting, you leave it on, even if it cuts off circulation.
Keep it on. This is what you do. You keep it on, and then you look at the fingers, and you look at the hands, or you look at the toes. You look at the distal, what we call the distal, the distal elements. So you look at whatever the other piece beyond the tourniquet is showing. Is it white? Is it blue?
Oof.
Does it look like, I know, it doesn't have.
Oh, God, I don't know how you do this. I just, God.
It's okay. But you did actually the right thing.
Ugh.
And so the only thing I would have said is, instead of doing it at the armpit, you would have done it at the elbow, right?
Got it. Dr. V, thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
Of course, your information is invaluable, as always. I know you're slammed like crazy, but can I get, for people that want more information?
That's drvanherle.com.
V-A-N-H-E-R-L-E. Doctor. And doc, is it D-R or doctor?
It's DR.
Oh, Brittany's already. Good for you, Brittany. Of course, Brittany, your patient, of course, sitting here. This is Dr. V. I have to tell you one thing, and I digress, and I promise I'll let you go. I want you to know that Brittany, of course, who's my assistant and now your patient, was on The Biggest Loser years ago, right? And all the doctors on that show, and they couldn't find anything, couldn't figure out what was going on with her, couldn't figure out what was going on with her. And I'm like, I'm telling you, there's something going on with her. She goes to Dr. Van Hurley. Dr. Van Hurley finds it like that. Like that. That's because they didn't do the blah, blah, blah test and this and that and the other. Finds it instantaneously. All the doctors on Biggest Loser. It's like all the king's horses and all the king's men and little Humpty Dumpty over here. Dr. Van Hurley, one test, finds it.
Yeah, no.
Well,
we're not
a lot
like
of
that,
tests, but you found
it. You know what
it.
We are? We're all working together to make a difference in the world. And you can't find good health care for love or money.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so we all agree, right?
Well, you are the best, and we adore you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
thank you, everyone.
Great timing on that one. Holy smokes.
I know. Thank you, Dr. V. All right, I know you're crazed. Get back to work.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
She's like, okay, gotta go. 8 patients in the hospital at the moment.
Wow, eh?
I know. Oh, God. Tourniquet. Blech. Oh, I hate it. I hate blood. Can't stand it. I hate the sight of it. Look.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't, though. Let's say if Lou cuts herself.
Oh, I'll pass out.
No, you won't.
I will. I'm going to have a heart attack, man. Yikes. I mean, I'll deal with it, obviously, but ugh.
All right.
I'm afraid, you know, like the minute one of those kids comes home with like the bone sticking out of the arm, I'm gonna,
out
cold. I will hit the floor. Mama!
Do a quick email question. And this is from Beth. And Beth says, because I hang on your every word, I know that you always preach not to eat chemicals because, among other things, they interfere with your metabolism. Mm-hmm. And she says, that would seem to work against losing weight, right? But people eat Weight Watchers meals and snacks all the time and lose weight. And that food is almost entirely chemicals. How do you explain that?
Okay, here we go. All right, so there are a couple different factors. At the end of the day, all right, weight loss is calories in, calories out. So you got to burn more calories than you're taking in. Now, the quality of your food will, of course, keep you from getting cancer and heart disease and all of that overall good health stuff. It's preventative medicine. Food would be medicine if you ate really high quality food, right? Poor quality food is going to make you sick. With that said, how does it affect your weight? Now, quality food will naturally optimize your metabolism. And sometimes you're going to see this cumulative effect over time. So when you look at people go, oh, you know, I'm in my 50s and I'm getting older and my metabolism's changing. It's the cumulative effect. It's the rusting and the aging of your body from all the crap you've been eating. So if you're eating well, look at people like Madonna. Her body's insane. And she's 53, 54 years old. Well, she eats obviously as clean as can be. So the cumulative effect of the chemicals over time on your health and your metabolism is going to add up. But in addition, yeah, you can eat chemicals, and if you're eating 1,200 calories a day, you're going to lose weight. However, if you eat clean and eat 1,200 calories a day, you're going to lose more weight. So what I'm trying to say is, yeah, all right, great. You can eat Weight Watchers and work out and eat 1,200 calories a day and, you know, you'll lose 2 pounds a week. Yeah, sure. But if I put you on all organic food and I put you on 1,400 calories a day and trained you, I bet I could take 4 pounds off of you in a day. And over time, these chemicals are going to do things like cause or contribute to thyroid dysfunction, which is going to affect your metabolism, estrogen imbalances, testosterone deficiencies, insulin resistance. So, yeah, when I was on Loser at 30 years old and I'd been eating fake and chemical foods for years and years and years, diet foods, I was ripped. You saw me, ripped. But what I had to do to stay ripped was like, oh my God, I had to eat 1,200 calories every single day and work out five times a week for an hour. And I just kept thinking, how is this possible? Why is it that I have to work this hard and create such a massive calorie deficit? And when I started eating organic and I cleaned up my biochemistry, then I eat 2,000 calories a day now. And I go to the gym not as often as I should. It depends how much I'm working. But I get like 4 half-hours in a week. And I can stay in great shape that way because the quality of my food is better. So it's about optimizing your metabolism in the long run and about getting more out of your metabolism at this moment in time. Make sense?
Well, Beth said, explain that, and you did.
God bless you and the horse you rode in on. And God bless you, Janice.
And you know what? And God bless the United States of America. Isn't that what they always say?
Well, they should.
Well,
it's the greatest country on the planet. Oh. Not like you, Canucks.
Hey, no, we're pretty good up there. We got some good things going on up there. We're very blessed. We're very blessed.
I actually love Canadians, just not you, Janice.
I know. I realize that.
I feel bad for all those Canucks that you're their representative. Produce. I mean, how embarrassing for them.
You know what? You don't, you know, I have power.
Don't
over
get
this.
Your gaunchies
you,
in a bunch.
After you skittle scattle off here, you know, Jake and I, we have power over this show. We can make sound good or bad.
Oh, so, threats. Ooh.
So smarten up there, little missy, on your tiffy.
On your tiffy.
Whatever. Toot, toot. Got to say goodbye now.
What's a tiffy?
I don't know. I just made the word
That's
up.
That's my point. That's my point.
Well, a tiffy's like a giggy.
Oh, boy.
See what I mean? This is why, if I was Canadian, I would take her out. Can't just have her roaming around representing an entire country of innocent people.
We have to go.
Fine. Send you back to where you came from.
You know what?
Not the greatest country on earth.
Oh, my God. Don't get all jingoistic on me. I'll take you down, sister, so fast. What's-a? Okay, we gotta go. Bye-bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.